to another episode of IDK Who Needs to Hear This. By the way, this episode that you're about to hear is part two of the three-part episode series. Without further ado, on to part two. Another thing that I'm very glad this time has given me was showing me how plugged I was to that matrix, right? To the matrix, the interlocking systems of oppression, etc., etc., specifically capitalism and grind culture. And I think we like to believe that by quitting the 9-to-5, we're somehow doing the matrix a disservice, but I think it's a little deeper than that. I think it's not possible to fully unplug from the matrix. Like, if you still have a bank account and you're still living on the grid, like, sorry, bro, you're still in the matrix. Like, if you're still on the internet, you're still part of it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're still going to Target and getting your groceries, you are still part of the matrix. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. So there's only so much you can do. But by quitting that 9-to-5, it really gets you out of that program just enough to see it more objectively for what it is. And you see it for what it is, as in the program that is running. And you can, you know, when you take a step back and not participate in it, now you're not the program, you're the awareness of the program, right? Like they say in certain spiritual circles, when you stop participating in a pattern, you become the consciousness or the pure awareness that is just observing and witnessing it. And when you can do that, you can start to witness this in so many areas of your life. Like, and I can see where I'm starting to get involved in the matrix. Oh, I'm starting to get involved in this central system, right? Like, I can start to feel myself getting pulled into programs. And this has been really good for my own deprogramming, personal work, I guess, to undo myself from the matrix. But it's like not just the matrix at large, which does, you know, exist more holistically, I guess, but I'm seeing the little matrices that exist that I get wrapped up in, or different little networks that I get wrapped up in. I'm like, oop, I'm getting really overly involved in that, or I'm getting really wrapped up in that, and I can kind of untangle myself and come back to center more often than not. Because when you unplug from this larger, more macro matrix, it becomes easier for you to catch how you are involved in anything that's not who you truly are, right? So to be able to sober up to that, you start to sober up to a lot of other programs that are running in your relationships and other areas, etc. So that's pretty cool. I would say that is one big benefit of of a sabbatical, that I think if anything else, you get that benefit. You know what I mean? Like, you can go a whole life not knowing you're a part of a program, thinking that's who you are, not realizing it's not who you are. It was just lines of code that you were perpetuating, and that you weren't actually acting from your highest truth. So anyways, guilt, fear, shame, scarcity. What about these things came up while I was in my sabbatical? Well, in the very beginning, I had a lot of these things. I would say a lot less now, but here's the pain point about when you first detach yourself from the matrix, you lose the benefits of it too, right? Like, the matrix has its own kind of beneficial aspects. Like, you have a security net, or you get some of the benefits of participating or opting in. But in the same way, when you undo yourself, you lose those benefits, and suddenly you feel naked and afraid and lost, and like you're about to lose everything that you've ever known. And it's a very scary experience, because most of us only know about security and stability under capitalism via having a job. We very rarely think about security and stability sans capital, sans labor, right? And I don't even want to attribute this to capitalism. I think this is just a general global phenomenon that we just live in a world where we have to labor for our, you know, stability and security to some degree. But it's definitely, and it's probably infinitely more crucial to a capitalist economy than anything else, right? But yeah, I definitely felt that like rug get pulled from under, and I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. What if I lose my home? What about my money? What if I never find a job? Like all of those fears. And I think I ruminated on these fears like way before I took my, like taking a sabbatical, but it's like, it becomes that much more real and that much more daunting when you're actually in it, when you're actually in the circumstance where that fear would be actualized, or like never finding a job again, losing my home and my independence. And then like with that comes a lot of guilt about not being like a productive citizen or contributor of society, or not doing anything with my time off. Like, shouldn't I be doing something? Shouldn't I be knitting? Or and then selling my knitting, my knitted goods to pay for different homeless shelters around the city. Like, I don't know, but you know what I mean. It's like, oh, I should be doing more. Shouldn't I be like more productive? And I had a lot of scarcity about that too. Just not feeling like I was doing enough with my time. Like, even in my time off, I was like, oh, I need to be producing in that time off. You know what I mean? A lot of shame came up for sure. Like, I feel like I can do a whole episode about this, but a lot of inner child stuff about shame came up, because I realized how early on we get indoctrinated into like employment equals esteem. Employment equals you're a good person, or having a job equals security. Having a job equals home. Like, we associate so many things with employment, and to not have that suddenly feels like I don't have anything, you know? And it was like, oh, well, I don't know who I am even if I'm not corporate girl box. I don't know who I am if I'm not in my 9-to-5 grind. I don't know who I am if I'm not my job title, right? Like, it was like a little bit of a identity crisis thrown in there. A lot of shame came up about who I was no longer, and like the loss I was associated with that, or like specifically about status. Like, I didn't realize, I mean, I think I did realize to some degree, especially like after my political awakening, I realized a lot of things about my status in the world. Like, I'm very clear about where I stand in this society. But I think not having this job, or not having this particular job where I was like, oh, it's a fancy tech job, and a six-figure fancy tech job at that, or, you know, big tech or whatever, losing other people's respect, or feeling like I was no longer as useful to people, because you know how people were like, I got this when I was in DC, or like I was talking to people at a networking event, and it's like the second you say something that they're not interested in, it's like their eyes glaze over, and they give you those eyes like, oh, you're just wasting my time because you're not the role that I'm trying to connect with, or you're not who I think you are, or like you devalued yourself by telling me that you're not a important person in my eyes. You know what I mean? It's like that thing, that whole dynamic. I felt like, what if I wasn't like important anymore? Or like, oh, what if I go to a networking event and then someone thinks that I'm useless because I'm not, you know? And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not even going to networking events, but it was like a hypothetical that my brain was creating to almost like validate that I was feeling like a worthless POS, or like, oh, that you're always like nearing some homeless situation, or that I was like this has been, or like, I don't know, just my brain was creating all of these stories about status and the fear of losing status. You know what I mean? Like, that was a whole thought loop that I was in for a while, but I think I started to unpack it as I gave it more airtime. I started to realize, oh, these are all part of the deprogramming that I'm here to do. This is all part of the shit that we have to collectively undo ourselves from. Otherwise, we will never be free, right? And this is where I think collective liberation, individual liberation, micro-macro liberation comes into play, where it's like, how can we free ourselves from these thought forms, right? How can we free ourselves from believing these stories that we get indoctrinated into, and not buying into the lie, not buying into that storyline that has been programmed into our brain from such an early age? But here's where it gets good. I allowed myself to do nothing. And I allowed myself to chill all the way down, like all the way down. In doing that, it really opened me up to hearing my body and like tuning into my body's needs more. My nervous system has never been more regulated. My channel has never been more clear. I have never been this receptive from spirit in terms of my capacity to hold like streams of data that I'm here to channel, and and I'm moving energy through the grid. I'm doing grid work now. I'm getting downloads, receiving downloads, working with different collectives more now. I can feel into energies like that. Like my intuitive capacity has just skyrocketed at this time because it's not being crowded out by other people's like demands nearly as easily. Like I've been able to hold more energetic boundaries, allowing myself to also get more serious about the things that matter to me at this time has been so good. And if I want to ramp things up and like get into my like girl boss mode, I can. But I don't need to and I don't have to. And this is something else I wanted to talk about. I wish I remember who it was on TikTok, but I was listening to a TikTok, or I was watching a TikTok, and this girl was saying, if you have to do it, it's not a flex, it's a prison. And I was like, oh my God. Meaning like, if you have to be productive, it's not a flex, it's a prison. If you have to always be go, go, go all the time, and you don't give yourself a break, and you don't even let yourself rest, it's not a flex to be corporate girl boss. It's a prison. And I was like, yes. Yes, queen. Yes. That's exactly the truth right there. Like, I need to find it, and I'll share if I can find it, but if I can't, shout out to random person on the internet. I have 4 new pop-up offers that are here for a limited time only. These are probably going to disappear by the end of the month, so you probably want to stick around to hear what these are. The first one I'm super excited about. This is kind of like my bread and butter on in terms of my content on Instagram, but I'm going to be actually creating this offer to help you integrate your spiritual and your political worldviews, philosophies, frameworks into something that you can feel good about, like, you know, no longer living in this split, polarized, like, oh, here's my politics over here, and then over there on the right over there is my spirituality. Something we should integrate to work together for the highest good. I know that's very, very idealistic. We don't want to live compartmentalized. We don't want to live believing 2 separate truths that can't be reconciled. We want these aspects to work together ultimately. And that's what we're going to help you do. This is going to be 2 90-minute calls. So these are going to be like almost like I called it a mini boot camp, and I'm also offering Voxer or chat support for an additional tier, but the basic tier is going to be $270 without Voxer. The second one is going to be for the creatives in the house, creating Have you ever wanted to create your own tarot or oracle deck? And no, you do not need to know anything about tarot or oracle decks. You can create a deck today. Well, not today, but you know what I mean. If you sat down with me, we put together the plan for you to help you create, and I walk you through the implementation and the digitalizing of, you know, your work, or how to piece it all together and how to actually publish or how to print it, working with a company that can help you print it, all those things. I will be giving you the 1, 2, 3 of all of that, because I've done it for myself and I can show you my own little example and walk you through some of the productionalization of it. That's for $270 on sale. It's going to be 3 separate hourly calls every other week. And again, if you want Voxer support, we can chat to add that as an additional tier. So the next one is learning to read the tarot intuitively. And this one's going to be so much fun, because this is what blasted me off into my spiritual path, like for real, and like doing this work for real. Because if it weren't for tarot and me learning how to read for myself and like genuinely learn how to do it for myself intuitively, which I believe is like the best way to read it. There's a lot of people out there who only read it by like textbook. And I said in my Instagram post, you can learn all of those things. That's fine. You can memorize all of those meanings. I think there's a time and a place for all that, but the best way to read it is intuitively. And that is something I'm going to teach you. And your intuition is infinitely more powerful than just rattling off a bunch of facts that you memorized. I promise. This is where subjective truth trumps objective truth. I'm not saying there isn't an objective truth. I'm just saying in the context of reading tarot for yourself and gaining deep, 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 deep knowledge and wisdom and esoteric truths about the world, about yourself, about your soul, this is a way to do it. Intuition is the way. Fourth and final pop-up offer, we got a DreamWorks session in the house. But it's one 90-minute call, so what we're going to do in that time is to really unpack and analyze one of the dreams or two of the dreams that you want to bring in, to really unpack and go deep into, to make meaning for yourself and how to integrate that and how to move forward with that, those dream imagery. And if it feels like something that is profound, it probably is, and it probably wants to be unpacked. And I'm definitely going to help you do that. It's a similar skill to like unpacking the tarot and like the imagery and the symbolism underneath tarot, but it's different. It's the same, but different. But I'll help you do all of that in the call. Just to recap, the first 3 offers are $270 on sale. They're usually $360. So you get almost a whole $100 off. And with Voxer support, it's going to be a little more expensive depending on which one you're interested in, but we can definitely chat about that. And the DreamWork one does not have Voxer support, and it's $140. If you're curious at how can you have a more or in-person experience if you're in this Atlanta region or in the South and you would like to actually work with me in person, I'm happy to work something out with you. Again, all of that you can ask in my DMs on Instagram. Please find me over there. I'm actually hoping to have more touch points with people in person next year. That's one of my goals for next year. I love to work with people in person. I really do. Like, it is something so much more powerful to be in the room with somebody. My evergreen offers are always what they are. You can get a tarot reading for free right now. I'm doing a free tarot reading. So if you don't know where to start there. Start with a free tarot reading with me. It is a suggested donation, and all of that money will go directly to Watermelon Relief. Thank you for listening, and hope to hear from you soon. And I'll catch you next week.